And tonight, I read some of the proposition to you that is to be discussed tonight. The scripture teach that water baptism is only in the name of Jesus Christ, and that this name, Jesus Christ, must orderly pronounce in order for the baptism to be valid. This is supposed to be 2 hours discussion. Each speaker will choose his moderator. Each speaker agrees to conduct themselves as gentlemen. Each speaker agrees that there should be no demonstration from the audience, that the debate is to be governed by the hedge rules of logics. And before we introduce to you the affirmative speaker tonight, I might also say that Marvin Hicks is in the affirmative tonight and tomorrow night. Mr. Sutton is in the negative tonight and tomorrow night sessions. We're going to call on Brother Overton, pastor of the church in Huntsville, to come and offer prayer tonight that God will bless his word. Now Marvin A. Hicks, the first speaker, affirmative speaker of tonight's session.
Gentlemen moderators, Mr. Sutton, ladies and gentlemen. The third night is always a very exciting night in a Bible discussion, but now the truth presented by the Pentecostal position has carved its message upon the granite shores of eternity, and the message of Almighty God and His infinite love has helped us expose the error that has faded into utter nothingness. And I'm sure those of you who have been here the last two nights are aware that Mr. Sutton has certainly not in any way upheld the position of the church known by the Church of Christ. Yes, as the battle hymn of our great republic proclaims, God's truth is marching on, and so we welcome you to the first night of this debate. I'm grateful to my moderator, who is my father, who has been a minister of this great faith for right at 50 years, my timekeeper, Elder Cadness, and also the videotape operator and producer, Ricky Evans, and all my Pentecostal brethren and friends who are here tonight. God bless all of you. And my Church of Christ friends, you may think we have personal differences, but we really are all human beings, and we're all trying to get to heaven. So I'm asking you to be my friend and to open your heart and listen to what I have to say, just as I listen to what you have to say. This is somewhat of an anniversary. My first debate with the Church of Christ preacher was in 1952. This is 1982, which means I've been at it 30 years, so at least I'm 39. Now, to have something to say is one thing, and to say it in the right spirit is quite another. And may the good Lord touch all of us who are involved emotionally, mentally, and spiritually in this debate. Once again, I want to outline my study plan so as to make it easier for you to tell who is in the affirmative and who is in the negative. The last two nights of this debate, it's been impossible to tell. Mr. Sutton surely had it confused the first two nights as much as the truth that I presented made such an impact upon him that the subsequent record, either by tape or the printed page, will reveal that he spent most of his time responding to what I had to say rather than to affirming his position. Some even inquired as to whether I was in the affirmative or he was in the affirmative. Well, if my opponent will follow my affirmative tonight, we'll have another great victory for the faith once delivered to the saints, Jude, verse 3. All right, let's get to the proposition immediately and forthwith. The scriptures teach, we're in agreement on that, we won't spend any time in that matter. That water baptism, each of us believe that that means by immersion in water, we do not mean sprinkling, we mean by putting you under the water, is only. And now we begin to draw our swords. And I have a verse of scripture I want to share with you at the very outset. Acts 4:12 says, "For there is salvation in no other name, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." Mr. Sutton will not dare in any discussion to come in any place and say that is not the name of Jesus Christ. He knows that's the name of Jesus Christ and there is no other name, so I'm perfectly in line to say only. Only means the name of Philippians 2. 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, "For God the Spirit," John 4:24, "hath highly exalted him, the Son, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess." And that's why I say only in the name. Now, in the name is probably where much of our discussion will revolve tonight, not only by the authority of Mr. Sutton, but into the name of Jesus Christ. And in the name is an accumulation of terms that I think will probably bring a great deal of light to this audience. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not talking about titles or nouns. I'm talking about the proper noun, Jesus Christ. We believe Father's a name, Son's a name, Holy Spirit's a name, but Father's not a proper name, Son is not a proper name, Holy Spirit is not a proper name. Jesus Christ is the name, the proper noun of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And that this name, Jesus Christ, which is the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. John 5:43, Jesus said, I'm coming in my Father's name. Luke 1:31, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus. And John 15:26, the Comforter whom the Father will send in my name. So the Father's in the name, the Son's in the name, the Holy Ghost's in the name. So that's why we baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that this name, Jesus Christ, must be orally. That means vocally pronounced. That means opposite from that which is silent or dumb. In other words, anybody who lives together without somebody marrying them and saying something about their marriage and pronouncing them husband and wife, they are living a common law lie. So we don't believe in a common law baptism. We believe in announcing what we're doing. And we believe that opposite from that which is dumb. And if I were dumb and could not speak, if I could not have a voice, then I would be disqualified to baptize. Is that clear enough, Mr. Sutton? We want you to understand how we believe it. We don't believe a man that can't say anything has the right to baptize anybody. Can't write it down, he has to say it. I'm going to prove that by the Bible. In order for the baptism to be valid, or in plain language, any good. All right. Now, let's look at Mr. Sutton's questions here at the very outset and see what he's asked me. Oh, how profound these are, and he thinks they're so difficult to answer, but let me just show you how easy it is. Number one, is it sinful to baptize a person saying the following words? I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That, Mr. Sutton, is total disobedience to what Jesus said. You are repeating what he said, and you are blatantly refusing to do what he said do. And that renders the baptism ineffective. Number two, wasn't that hard? Number two, since you say that in order for water baptism to be valid, the name Jesus Christ must be orally pronounced, please give the exact time frame and the scripture that so states when this must be pronounced. Must it be pronounced before you go into the water, as you go into the water, while you are standing in the water, but before you start the act of immersion, at the moment you start to immerse the person, while he is under the water, just exactly when, and please give us a scripture that so states. Ladies and gentlemen, I answer this question that is utterly confusion compounded from his distorted thinking. I answer this question with a very simple instruction. Before I baptize someone, I announce what I'm doing. Just before we let someone live together, we announce that they're husband and wife. All right, wasn't that hard? All right, please give the passage that says that an inspired man, baptizer, was told to baptize, saying the name of Jesus Christ. Couldn't be anybody any more inspired than the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost. He was not only inspired, he had the keys to the kingdom of God, Matthew 16. And he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 22:16. Saul of Tarsus was told to rise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord. The original Greek says having invoked his name, or having somebody to call the name of Jesus over him. Now that was easy too. Number four, please give the words that John said when he baptized people. Look like to me, you could read the Bible every once in a while. Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's far as he could go. He couldn't baptize in anybody's name because it wasn't the day of Pentecost yet. Since Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Sound like to me, you ought to join our bunch. You really got this Jesus name business down here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Does this mean that in order for repentance to be valid, the person doing the repenting must orally pronounce the name Jesus Christ while he is repenting? If not, why not? Well, I believe a man that will refuse to repent in Jesus' name will never get his sins forgiven.
Well, why don't you read Luke... What are you laughing for back there? Why don't you turn to Luke 24:47 and read that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. You know, it never may cease to amaze me how you Church Christ folks sit back there and laugh right in the barrage of truth, and you shake your head no when you know good and well what I'm saying right out of the book of God. It just doesn't fit to a Camelite theory, so you get all upset about it. I can't help it. That's the way it is, all right? Let me give you the questions now that I've given to Mr. Sutton to answer. Number one, do you teach it is a sin to baptize saying in the name of Jesus Christ? That'll be interesting for him to answer that. Number two, please tell us the exact words you say, if any, when you baptize an individual in water. Number three, is Jesus Christ the name referred to in Matthew 28:19 and Acts 4:12? Number four, if I were to be a convert to what you teach and wanted sincerely to become a member of the church to which you belong, would I have to be baptized again in water, or would you accept the way I was baptized, which is in the name of Jesus Christ? Be sure to tell me now. Number five, inasmuch as you teach that the Godhead consists of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, would you please tell us if the Son has a name, and what is that name? I want Mr. Sutton to come up here tonight and tell you what the name of the Son is. All right? Now, first of all, hand me my pointer over there, if you will, that chrome one there. I want to introduce the first argument here, and it involves the proper division of the Word of God. Now, be sure to follow me tonight, Mr. Sutton. First of all, we must rightly divide the Word of God. There are three divisions in the New Testament. Many people don't realize this who are involved in theology today, but there are three divisions. There are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do they consist of? They tell about the life of Christ, but there was no church established. Matthew 16, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. So don't ever go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for your salvation instructions. That's where he's going for his baptism, but he ought to be ashamed of that. All right? There was no church established in Matthew 16. Jesus said, I will build my church. The understanding of those disciples was limited because Luke 24:46-47 says, and then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and that was just before Pentecost or the last commission. There is no such thing as the Great Commission in the Bible. All commissions of Jesus Christ are great. And Luke 24 is the last one he gave before he ascended. You didn't know that, did you, Mr. Sutton? Doctor, you know it now. All right, there was no spirit baptism in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why? John 7:38-39 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, that they which believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, what do we have? Romans through Revelation. These are epistles. I debated one fellow one time that said the epistles were the apostles' wives, but that's not true. The epistles are letters. The epistles are letters which were written to people that had already been born again, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. They were letters to the churches or to the saints. No church was established or founded. It was the letters from the apostles telling them how to be faithful and a review of how they were saved. An example of this is that you can find in 1 John that if you love, you're saved. Well, who was that written to? People that had already been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. So the letters then is the second division. Then there is the third division, which is the book of Acts. This book of Acts, ladies and gentlemen, is the only book in your New Testament that tells you about how to establish and found a church. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, not Romans through Revelation, but the book of Acts. And Mr. Sutton and I agree that on the day of Pentecost was the first day of the church. Acts 2:1-4 tells us how the church came into existence. When the fullness of time was come, and God had sent forth His Son, made of a woman, that He had died, was buried, rose again, ascended back into heaven, and then on the day of Pentecost, after His glorification, He came back! Not as a third person, but in the power of the Holy Spirit, and He filled all those people there, and they spake with tongues, and the church was started. And the message of that day was, men and brethren, what shall we do? Acts 2:37. Then Peter said to them, repent, verse 38, and be baptized. Didn't do bad, did I? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, not in the world. earth, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I submit to you that since that verse is from the day that the church was established and was practiced by the apostles thereafter, that this is not in contradiction to Matthew 28:19, but is a fulfillment of Matthew 28:19. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That means the other two gods didn't have any. He had it all. Now verse 19 says, go therefore and teach all nations. How? Baptizing them into, not in the authority of, Mr. Sutton, but into the name of the Lord, of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now since Father is not a proper name, if there's a school teacher here tonight, you know that the preposition of there reverts back to the subject under consideration. Is there an English teacher in this audience? Would you raise your hand, please? Just raise your hand. All right. All right. The preposition of Matthew 28:19 reverts back to the subject under consideration, and we're talking about the name of the Father, which is the name of Jesus Christ, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Now, since Father is not a proper name, Son is not a proper name, Spirit's not a proper name, then we Pentecostals have found the name of the Father, and the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, and have been baptized into that name. Instead of spending a lot of time now talking about that, he and I are both in agreement. He just got through saying one of his questions, baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. But the issue then between us is, are we baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, into Him, into Jesus Christ, or in the authority? Now the Revised Version says baptizing them into the name. The American Standard Version says baptizing them into the name. I'm talking now about Matthew 28:19. The Publication Society, an improved edition of the American Publication Society, says baptizing them into the name. Worrall's translation, immersing them into the name. The Living Oracles say into the name. Julius Smith's translation literally says immersing them into the name of the Father and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Emphasized Bible, immersing them into the name. J.W. Hansen's translation, immersing them into the name. American Bible Union Version, immersing them into the name of. Benjamin Wilson's translation, immersing them into the name. George Knowles' translation says, immersing them into the name. Cunnington's translation, baptizing them into the name. Montgomery's translation, baptizing them into the name. Concordant Version, baptizing them into the name. William's translation, baptizing them into the name. Wyman's translation, baptizing them into the name. Alfred's translation, baptizing them into the name. 17 translations say that Matthew 28:19 says, baptize into the name. Not in the authority of the name, but into the name. Now, why did Peter stand up on the day of Pentecost and give such specific instructions with regard to baptism? Because he knew what Jesus said in Matthew 28:19. Now I'm going to ask you this. Where was Matthew? He was standing there with Peter. And if Matthew heard Peter give different instructions for salvation than Jesus had given in Matthew 28:19, he would have said, hey, stop there. That's not what Jesus said. But these apostles had sense enough to do what Jesus said rather than just repeat what He said. They found the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and they went out and they baptized in the name, and thus their understanding was open in Luke 24:47, and their understanding was open that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And Jesus said in Matthew 16, I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And Peter took those keys and used them in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. All right, let's talk about the so-called Great Commission that most of you have been talking about. Shame on you. That's not scriptural. Let's consider the last words of Jesus during the last 40 days before His ascension. All the following words are the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19 are not the only words that Jesus gave before His ascension. The first commission was given in Jerusalem. It was on the first day in John 20 and verse 1, the first day of the week. 20 and verse 19, evening of the same day. Verse 23 of John 20, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Unto them whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. All right, the second commission then was given in Galilee sometime during the 40 days. This is in recorded by Matthew 28:10. Tell all my brethren that they go into Galilee. Verse 18 of Matthew 28, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. 19, go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost,
verse 20, lo, I am with you. Not us, but I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Then the third commission, the second commission also was reiterated by Mark. And this was in Galilee sometime during the 40 days. Mark 16:7 says, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. Verse 15 of Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues. And they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That is the second commission. The third commission, just before the ascension of Jesus Christ, was Luke 24:33. This was back in Jerusalem just before the ascension. And verse 33 says the apostles were at Jerusalem. Verse 46, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And verse 47, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have some unanswered questions by these men. After all these years of polemic dissertation, we still have yet to hear them speak the truth according to water baptism. I would like to ask Mr. Sutton a question. Do you teach that nothing must be said at water baptism? I want to know, do you believe in a silent baptism? Is it a sin to say in Jesus' name at water baptism? If you get up here tonight in your first negative and you say it doesn't matter what you say, then why are you debating me? Because I've been baptized in Jesus' name, and if it doesn't matter what is said, then why don't you accept my baptism? If it does matter what is said, then you're saying the wrong thing. All right, if it doesn't matter what he said, why not accept my baptism? And if you reject my baptism, and evidently you do, we wouldn't be debating this issue tonight, then you admit it does matter what is said, and you have lost the debate once again, even before you get started tonight. Look at the experience now. Mr. Sutton says Acts 2 is not a New Testament church pattern because some of you cannot go physically to Jerusalem. Why, Mr. Sutton, do you preach? The Bible says in Isaiah 2:2 that the word of the Lord shall go out from Jerusalem. Do you preach out from Jerusalem? By a satellite some way? Are you pulling some trick on us we don't know about? You know, there was a woman, a Samaritan woman talked about that one time, said, Lord, John 4, where is the place where one ought to worship? Made a quibble about the place up in the temple at Mount Gerizim where we Samaritans worship, or in Jerusalem temple. And Jesus said, that's not the issue now. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not the place where you go, Mr. Sutton. It's the experience that you have. And the church is identified not by shingle on the door, but by the doctrine in the pulpit and the experience in the pew. That tells you if you're in the true church or not. All right, not long ago I received a letter that called me a name-speaking faith preacher. That is exactly right. I plead guilty to that. I believe you have to speak the name of Jesus Christ in order for the baptism to become valid. Now, let me tell you, last night in Acts, or night before last in Acts 19, I never could get Mr. Sutton to tell us what spirit that was that made those people talk in tongues. So let's talk about water baptism in Acts 19, 1 and 5. They were baptized. Who was baptized? The people that John had baptized. Mr. Sutton, I submit to you that the only difference in the baptism that John gave those people and when Paul baptized them over again, in both instances they were put down in the water. In both instances they were immersed. The only difference was what the preacher said. You tell me. You tell me it doesn't matter what you say. We'll hear how his mute baptism goes if he says anything. And if he doesn't tell us what he says when he baptizes, he's in trouble. Because I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are over 300 water baptisms in this world among many hundreds of different religions. And the only way to distinguish Christian baptism from heathen baptism is to announce what you're doing in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you want to shame of it, you do it. Like you people put Church of Christ on your building. Why don't you put Church of Jesus Christ up there? I'll tell you what I'll do. If you put Jesus Christ before the title Christ, I'll pay for your sign. Just put the word Jesus in there and we'll pay for it. You wouldn't do it for $1,000, and you know you wouldn't do it. You see, you're hated not because you speak in tongues or shout or you're Pentecostal or apostolic. You're hated for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue of this generation is what we're talking about tonight. The name of Jesus Christ. Oh, they talk about the Lord's church, Christ's church. Why don't you use that name, Jesus? The Bible said your knee is going to bow someday, Mr. Sutton, and your tongue is going to confess that Jesus is the Christ. Acts 15:17 talks about the Gentiles, the residue of these, the Gentiles upon whom my name is called.
indicative that there was a time, all of those Gentiles, when the name of the Lord Jesus was called. And this is in reference to a people for his name, Acts 15:14. Now get a good hold on your seat, Mr. Sutton, and tighten your seat belt, because we're getting ready to take off. This followed the discussion of circumcision, at which time a Jewish male child was named. Do you know that they named a Jewish child at circumcision? Do you know you take the name of Jesus Christ when you're baptized? Not Father, Son, and Spirit, but the name Jesus Christ. Well, let's see if that's true. We take Jesus' name at the New Testament circumcision, Colossians 2:11-12. Quote, in whom also ye are circumcised, with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. How? Buried with him? Not them, but him? Yeah. In baptism, wherein also ye are risen through the faith of the operation of God. Romans 2:28 says, nor is that circumcision which is outward, but Romans 2:29, the circumcision is that of the heart. When you come back up here, Carol Sutton, I want you to tell this people, and don't you forget it. You tell us about the naming of the Jewish male child at circumcision, and then deal with Colossians 2:11-12, and Romans 2:28-29, and tell us if the New Testament circumcision is water baptism in Jesus' name. I have 5 minutes. All right. Then let me go to my charts again. Is Jesus the Son only? The name Jesus includes not only the Son, but the fullness of God. The Father, James 5:43. The Son is Jesus Christ, is the name of the Father. The angel said, Luke 1:31, the name of the Son is Jesus. The Holy Ghost name is Jesus, John 15:26. If you refer to the Son, part of Jesus as the flesh, yes, Jesus is. But if you're referring to his deity or the Father Spirit that was in him, you're talking about his omnipresence and his omnipotence. A question I want to ask you, Mr. Sutton, is the Father of Isaiah 9:6 the same Father as Matthew 28:19? You answer that when you come back up here. Look at the sonship of Jesus. This is why we baptize in Jesus' name. Jesus was flesh. He was man. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us that. He had a human spirit. Into thy hands, Father, I commend my spirit. Then he had a divine spirit. What spirit was this divine spirit? Cal Sutton says it's a divine Son spirit, separate and apart from the Father. That's the issue. Is the divine spirit in Jesus the Father, or a divine Son apart from the Father? The Pentecostal people believe that that divine spirit in Jesus Christ was the Father's spirit.
Yeah.
Not a divine Son spirit, for Ephesians 4:4-5 says, there is one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, and one spirit. There are not two divine spirits, but only one spirit, all right? That's why 1,250 times in the New Testament, the name Jesus, Jesus Christ, or the Lord Jesus is mentioned. That's why we baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we're not apologizing for that. Is Jesus the Son only? I've covered that already, and I want him to answer this question. Isaiah 9:6, is that the same Father as Matthew 28:19? The sonship of Jesus, that is why we baptize. He's a man, had a human spirit, and he had a divine spirit. Therefore, I'm asking Mr. Sutton this question. Proverbs 30:4, what is his name and what is his son's name? Indicative that the Son had a name. You tell us what the name of the Son is. You get up here and say the Son's name is Son, we'll lead you out of here. The Son had to have a name. All right, and I cannot stand up here with good conscience and preach to you and tell you that I have to baptize in the Father and the Holy Ghost, because Jesus would have two fathers. I'd have to baptize in the Father, Son, and Father, because the Holy Ghost was his Father, and so also the Father was his Father. Who ever heard of baptizing in the Father, Son, and Father? And yet Jesus didn't have two fathers. He just had one Father. And yet he's got a terrible dilemma. That which is in Mary was of the Holy Ghost. Can you imagine such a dilemma for a man to be in? Now, if Jesus, the word Jesus, has to mean many, many titles, then the word Lord in Acts 10:48 also means other titles, and I want to know what those titles are. Now, we're buried, Romans 6:3. I'm giving him these examples one by one. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him, not them. Verse 5, planted together in the likeness of his death. Mr. Sutton, did Father, Son, and Holy Ghost die, and were they buried? Mr. Sutton, if so, are we buried with the Father, and with the Son, and in the Holy Ghost, and in the likeness of their deaths? That's the That is why the Holy Ghost did not die, but is Christ in you, Colossians 1:27. You'll study the reference back in Ephesians 1:13. You'll see that the mystery of Christ in you is being sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And when you read John 14:17 and 18, you will never again deny that Colossians 1:27 is the one Spirit that indwells Christian believers. All right, let's talk about John 3. Except the man is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. This corresponds with the teaching of the Bible and was fulfilled on Acts chapter 2 when the wind and the sound. Jesus said, the wind bloweth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Then in Acts 2, there came a sound from heaven, sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Why are you saying that? I am telling you that the prophets are with us. You need to do all that they had on the day of Pentecost if you're going to be born again. And that's why Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, these men say that in Jesus' name means in the authority only. Now, that's strange, because there are three things here I want to bring out in the closing moment. First, the preposition in ice authority of the name of Jesus, or the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, means that we have a double preposition here. In the ice name of the authority of. Now, look at Mark 1:9. Then Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John, ice, E-I-S, in authority of the Jordan. Remember that, when you talk about into being authority. How can you be baptized into the authority of the Jordan River? Now, Romans 6:3 and 4, know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into the authority of Jesus Christ. And then, in conclusion, I say this, if water baptism was to be a public acknowledgement of the Trinity, all the disciples went to hell because they made no such acknowledgement. And not only that, E-I-S, ice, means into the authority of hell. How can a man be baptized into the authority of hell, but the wicked shall be cast into hell? I got six words in extra. Thank you, ladies.